Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Chavav. We're holding Chaf Hey Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara tells us about the Avornika, a beautiful, beautiful sigya here in Masechtas Erevin. And as we'll see, Mechim in the Rashi, there are two totally different pshatim in the Rashi, but since Rashi prefers his second pshat, which he quotes B'Shem Chuvas HaGa'onim, that's the one that we're going to learn with, the Chuvas HaGa'onim. So let's start. Hahu Avornika. Now what exactly is an Avornika? This in itself is a machloikis between the two pshatim. According to the first pshat, you'll see it's 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Omid Beis. Rashi says, Avornika, Ilan Shetziloi Meruba. It's an Ilan, a tree that has very, very wide branches and foliage, so there's lots and lots of shade. Venoitan Oisei Hasarim, and the nobility go and plant these types of trees. Va'oisen it's the boys tachtov svivoisa, and they make like benches, a room and a room underneath the tree, surrounding it on all sides. L'hisloinen tachtov to rest there, v'yemoisechama ulesamech sham, to have a good time, to have parties, to rest. It's kishmak, it's a hot day, you have this tree that has such beautiful shade, you put up these nice benches and people have a good time there. Maybe they drink something called a martini or something like that, or maybe they just poilish the spring water. But anyway, there was this Avonika. That's the first pshat in the Rashi. The second pshat in the Rashi, B'Shem Chuvas HaGa'onim, is that this Avonika was K'min Achsadra. We had an Achsadra already yesterday in the Gemara. An Achsadra is a pavilion or a gazebo where it's mostly a roof on top and four pillars coming down from the four sides. But even Rashi in the second pshat says that the Avonika was constructed around a tree. So you had this tree that had lots of shade, and they built this gazebo with the benches so that people should be able to go and rest there and have a good time. Anyway, the Gemara tells us the Avonika, the Hava Leila Reish Kalusa Bustania, that was owned by the Reish Kalusa in the middle of his Bustana. Bustana is a garden, actually an orchard, like we had yesterday. So in the middle of this orchard, you have lots and lots of trees from all sides. Ah, right in the middle they have this beautiful Avonika. It's only Rafuna Bar Chinina, Le'evid Mar Takanta, Delamochar Noichel Nehama Hossa. So, the Reish Kalusa wanted to go and throw a Kiddush on Shabbos morning, and it was going to be a very, very ample Kiddush. They were even going to give out Chalas, Noichel Nehama, and therefore he wanted everybody to be invited and to enjoy. The question is, you had to go and transport food from the mansion of the Reish Kalusa to that Avornika in the middle, and he wanted to make sure that everybody would say, yeah, that's fine, there's no problem, you don't either construct an Erev or you don't need an Erev, do something that will be able to go and take the food over, otherwise invite everybody for Kiddush, and then there's no chulent and no kugel, and there's no bread, and there's no challah, and there's nothing, it'll be very, very embarrassing. So, therefore he said, Ich beitach, please, Rafuna Bar Chinina, Levin Mar Tekanta, do something, the Lemocher Neuchel Nehama Hossam, that we should be able to go and eat there underneath the beautiful shady Avonika. So, what did Rav Huna Bar Chinina do? Ozal, he went. Ovad, kona kona pochis mishloisha. He went and made a kona kona, meaning he made, again, there's two pshatim in the Rashi, but we'll learn the second pshat in Rashi, that he made a nice pathway from the house to the Avonika, on both sides, by putting up two machitzas on both sides, but instead of putting up major fences or major Mexican or Chinese walls, instead he put reed shtekelach every less than three tvachim each time, so that we would have the benefit of lovut. So you had both on the right and on the left, you had maybe 10, 20, 30, 50, 50 such minor poles, all 10 tvachim tall, however, they were not particularly thick, but the good news is, between one pole and the other, you always had a space of less than lovud, less than 3 tvachim, so you fill up all the spaces, And l'chayra, everything is fine and dandy. He made this beautiful pathway, walkway from before Shabbos, and now you'll be able to go and carry from the home into the Avonika, because the home itself, the house itself, has a wall to it, naturally, from the outside. So you already have one wall. You'll have these two new walls that we're building on Erev Shabbos, and then the Avonika itself has its own wall to it. So it's enclosed by all four sides. Perfect, a great machitza, everything is wonderful.
The art school has a nice picture.
Oh, beautiful. Here on the Sitchin, it's a little shtekhlach. Yeah, I have that as well. Thank you. Thank you very much for pointing that out. It's just missing all the other trees in the Bustana, but you don't need the other trees because the focus is on the Savornika there in the middle. Very good. You see, underneath the tree you have what looks like benches that people can sit on. Anyway, regardless, says the Gemara, after Rav Huna Bar Chinna put up this beautiful machitza, Ozel Rava Shalfinu, Rava went and he schlepped it down. There may be some sort of relationship between schlepping and shalfinu. You have to speak to the etymologists who understand these things. Anyway, so he schlepped down the two walls that had been constructed so beautifully by Rav Huna Bar Chinna. Now the question is, why did he go and schlep these down? According to the first pshat of Rashi, he did it because he felt it did not do a good job. He was not happy with these walls, and he felt that therefore this was an improper machitza, an inappropriate way of fixing it, and no good. But we're going to learn with the second pshat of Rashi, that Rava felt that we didn't even need to go and put up those machitzos. Why didn't we need? Because Rava felt that the Avurniki itself, since people are going to rest there and eat there, it's considered to be like a beis dira. Since the entire orchard, the Bustana, had a large enclosure from all four sides, so then it was already mukaf ledira. And if it's mukaf ledira, you don't need anything. You can go and carry there, not only on Shabbos, but even 7 days a week you can go and carry there, because of the fact that it's mukaf ledira. That's how Rava felt about this. He felt so strongly that you don't need these shtekelach, you don't need these provisional, temporary machitzas, that he went and schlepped them down. Not only that, but Rava's Talmidim, Ozl Rapop of Rav Huna Barei Rav Yeshua, Naktinu Mi Basrei Lemochar, or Naktinu Mi Basrei. What they did was that after Rava schlepped them down, Rapop and Rav Huna Barei Rav Yeshua wanted to be sure that Rav Huna Bar Chinina would not put them up again. So they went and took them away and hid them somewhere so that they would not be available to be repositioned in place. So far, so good. Zokti Yimara, the Mocha, the next day, Eisvei Ravina Rova. Ravina asked Rova the following Shaila. It's from here until halfway down the Amud, we're going to see that the Gemara is going to challenge Rava on three separate grounds, that in fact the Reish Kalusa was right. We need a special tikkun. We are indebted to Rav Huna Bar Chinina for putting up the takana, for putting up the walls, and that Rava should not have schlepped them down. And the Gemara is going to bring three kashas and Rava, which are three rayas to Rav Huna Bar Chinina. What was the first kasha? Eisvei Ravina Rava. Ir Chadosha Moyden La Miyeshivasa V'yeshana Mechoymasa. What we're going to learn from this braisa is the halacha that it's got to be when an enclosure, a karfif, a chotzer, is mukaf ledira, it's got to be that the dira came first and the hekiv came second. Then it's considered to be mukaf ledira. If, however, you have the hekiv first and the dira came later, that hekif is no good. And as you remember, 2 or 3 days ago in the Gemara said, what are we going to do about this to make this hekif mukaf ledira? We had to dismantle part of it by taking off 11 amis, making a pirtza, and then building up back one of the amis so that we would be left with a pesach of 10 amis. But the point is, if you want to have a hekif mukaf ledira, it's got to be posach Philip Soif Hikiv, as opposed to Hikiv Philip Soif Pasach. And the Gemara brings now a brisa which demonstrates the validity and the efficacy of that rule. Now, this brisa is not talking about what we normally talk about, which is chatzeros and a ruven and shitufei mavuos, but rather what we're talking about is a ruvei techumen. And everybody knows that the halacha is that you're allowed to go and walk and on Shabbos your entire city, because your entire city is considered to be like your Dal Ramis, like your residence. And outside the city limits, we already had before, you can go up to 70 and two-thirds for these additional homes or even Borgenen that appear outside the city. But let's assume that there are no outside homes, there are no Borgenen, and we have over here a city which has around it a wall, an ear which is Mukefes Choyma. Not necessarily Miyamois Yeshua Benun, but it has a Choyma around it. So now the question is, from where do you start measuring your 2,000 amas? Outside of your city you have 2,000 amas that you're allowed to walk. That is your tchum. Beyond that, you're not allowed to walk on Shabbos unless you go and make an Eruv Tchumen that would allow you to go and walk yet another 2,000 amas in that direction. You'd lose it from the other direction, but you'd gain it in this direction. So, where does the city end so that your 2,000 amas begin? Says the Braisa, it depends if you're talking about an Ir Chadosha or an Ir Yeshana. Well, Pashup Shad, of course, an Ir Chadosha means a new city, and Ir Yeshana means an old city. And then the Gemara is going to ask, how do you define new and how do you define old? And as we'll see in a moment, it really has nothing to do with the age of the city. So the Braisa says, Ir Chadosha, if you have a new city, Moedin La Mi Shivasa. Then go and start measuring your 2,000 amas from the last residents within the city. In other words, ignore the wall. Rather, wherever the final residence ends, when I say the final, the one that is closest to the wall, closest to the outskirts of the city, that's where you start measuring your 2,000 amas. The Yeshana, but if it's an old city, then you go mechamasa, then you go measure from the wall, wherever the wall is. Can you define those two terms, new and old? Really has nothing to do with new and old per se. Rather, it has to do with what is newer and what is older. Did the homes come first? And then the city official said, you know what, for protection, let's go and build a wall. Or did they build a wall first and then they started building homes within the world? So Zoktimar, Chadosha is Shehukva Pulapsoif Yashva. First they went and put up the wall. It's a brand new wall. The best proof of the pudding that it's a brand new wall, as soon as I enter into the city, I see that there's still a number of lots available where they haven't even built the homes yet. Because they built the wall first and they built the homes later. So that's Hukva Philipsoif Yoshua. Yeshana is the other way around. Yoshua, first they had 5, 10, 20, 50 people decided to go and settle here. They built up beautiful homes. And then they decided, say, Hukva, let's go and make a hekif around the city. What's the Nafkimina? The Nafkimina is the Gabi Hilchis Tchum. Since it's Hukva Philipsoif Yoshua, what's the halacha? That you have to go, since that's a chadosha, you have to go from the homes where people live. Because when you put up this wall, nobody was living in the city yet. It was Hukva, Flipsaif Yashva. A city is not defined by its walls. A city is defined by its residences and its residents. When people live in the city, then it's called a city. If you go and put up a wall, it's not a city yet. So you can't automatically say, oh, there's a wall around the city, let's go and carry 2,000 amas beyond that. No. It's where the city ends. Where does the city end? Where the homes end. So it was Hukva Lepsoif Yashva, we ignore the wall. The wall is not the indicator. We look at where the property lines end, where the final property is. So if the final property happens to end at the wall, no, well, that's wonderful. But if it's a Chadasha, there's a good chance that there are still empty lots as you get closer and closer to the outskirts of town. So therefore you go to the last house there in the city. That's why it says here, you go from the yeshivasa, not from the wall. But Yishana, which is the other way around, it's an old city. So Yashva first, people settled in the city, 5, 10, 20, 50, 100 Balabatim. They built up their homes, and then they went and built a wall around it. By the time they put the wall around it, the city was quote-unquote old. That's why it gets the name Yishana. Ah, since it's Yashva L'Psoif Hukva, the wall was made around an existing city. So this is a really hook of Ladira. The Diras were there first, and then we'll makif it second. Then you can go and carry, not from the homes, but from the wall and further. Presumably, there's going to be very little difference between the homes and the wall, because presumably they're going to build a wall around the homes. But of course, that may not have been the case. They may have decided to go and build a wall and leave some additional space for additional people to go and build in the future. But the point is that it's a city first, and it was a wall second, and therefore, when you built the wall up, it was already an existing city, so it's an accessory to the city, it's protection for the city, and you can go and count your 2,000 ammas from the wall. Fine, says Yigmara, what does that have to do with our avorniki in the middle of the bustana? V'hainami, in our case, kihukfa v'lipsoif yashvedami. What the Gemara is saying is, first they planted the bustana, this beautiful orchard, and after they planted the beautiful orchard, only subsequently, after they have this nice tree, which has nice shade, the nobility, the Rish Kalusa says, you know what? This would be an excellent place for people to relax and to have a nice stroll during the summer, be able to go and lie down and rest over there, drink something under the shade. Let's go and build an avorniki. So therefore it was a hukaf full of soif yashvedami. So when they built up the walls, a room and a room around the bustana, around the orchard, it was not mukaf ladira at that time. It was a hekif first for the purposes of the trees and for purposes of the property, but nobody was living there. But now that they put up the avornika to live in, so to speak, not a full-time base dira, but at least a temporary base dira, so that's a hekif flips like yashva. And if that's the case, then this is not hukaf ladira. If it's not hukaf ladira, it doesn't permit carrying within this bustana. So the Reish Kalusa was right. I want to be able to give Kiddush and Shabbos in the Avornika. If I'm not going to go and do a tikkun, we won't be able to go and carry in this bustana. Because although it happens to have a wall around it, it was hukif l'psoif yashva dami. And therefore, that was kasha number one on Rava. Rava, why did you dismantle this beautiful shvil, these beautiful machitzes? We need them because the wall around the bustana doesn't do the trick. It was hukif l'psoif yashva, no good. That was kasha number one. Kasha number two, omeli rapapa l'rava. Now, notice rapapa was a Talmud of Rava, and that's why on the top line, after Rava schlepped down these machitzes, Rapapa and Hunra Rabbi Yeshua went and they hid them so that they wouldn't be used again. So the Tshuvas HaGaonim down below, which we're going to see in another moment, says that initially Rapapa and Rav Hunra Rabbi Yeshua, Talmidim of Rava, unflinchingly, unthinkably, whatever, they immediately followed the lead of their Rebbe, and that's why they put these machitzas away, figuring the Rebbe was right. But that's why the Gemara said on the second line, Lamachar, the next day. In other words, after they had a chance to have a little bit more Yishuv Hadas, to think about what's going on, then each one of them had a question. And now Rav Papa asked the question to Rava. The Omer Rav Asi, Machitzas Adrachlin, Lo Yishma Machitza. If you're talking about a machitza, actually not just a machitza, but a little butkala that was put together by Adrachlin, who are Adrachlin? We'll see Rashi in a moment. These are builders, and they would go and build, when they had to go and build new homes or whatever construction they had to do during the summer, it was nice and hot. So they used to go and make these small little booths to be able to rest there and to go and get some shade from the terrible sun. So these machitzas adrachlin, lo yishma machitza. Why they're not machitza? Alma kiven litzni usa avidala, lo yhavi machitza. the reason why they have these small booths, it's not intended for them to go and live there on a permanent or even on a temporary basis. It's only meant litznius. Litznius doesn't mean not only that the person shouldn't be seen by the outside world, but it means this for a temporary place of rest. But it's not a real beis dira. So the Aleph adds on, same thing applies over here too. That Hochanami, I skipped a line. Alma kimtznius avida lehavi machitza. Hochanami, in our case of the Avornika, kimtznius avida lehavi machitza. If you look at Rashi Adrachlin, Rashi is parallel to our Gemara where it says machitza Adrachlin. So Rashi banoim, these are contractors or builders. She'oisim machitza letzel sviveisayim kishaboinim bechama. They have to go and build. During the summer, they try to go and have as much protection from the sun as possible, so they have these little booths and stuff that they put up to, or maybe it's not even a full booth, maybe it's just a wall, that if it's a tall enough wall, it would protect against the, give some shade from the sun. Says Rashi, if you see he, ulamocha sasrila, these are only made, you know, one day things, as the contractor, as the builder keeps on building to the right and to the left, he moves these machitzas further to the right or to the left to protect them from the sun. Islav klomi, they don't really have any permanence whatsoever, and therefore they're not choshev beis dir. Vanami, in our case of the avodika, the lisniusa, the yoim v'layla bi'almahi, davida, v'lav dirahi, it's not a real dira, it's just for, not really tznius, but it just means that from time to time you use it during the day, during the night, you want to rest, you want to sit down for a few minutes, lie down for a few minutes, and that's not a real beis dira. So therefore, just like the Adrachlin is not considered to be a bona fide machitza, here too the Avornika machitzas are not a real beis dira, and since it's not a beis dira, even though there's a wall, even assuming that they would have built the wall around the bustana after constructing the Avornika, so it would be a pasach, Philipsoif Hukaf, still says Rapapa, it still wouldn't be a mokum that you can go and carry, because it's got to be hukaf ledira. This is not a real dira, says Rashi. Well, dirahi. This is just a place that you spend some time in to protect you from the sun to get a little shade. So this was kasha number two. Kasha number three, the Yom Rafuna Brid Rishua, that's the second Talmud of Rava, he asked Rava, the Omer Rav Huna, Mechitza Asuya L'Nachas Loishma Mechitza. Rav Huna said halacha, that if the Mechitza is intended just for Nachas, that is not a Mechitza. Now what exactly does that mean, Nachas? So again we have the benefit of the Rashi right next to us, Nachas. Shloi Lodur Sham, the reason why they put up the Mechitza is not for a place of residence to live there, elishtamer mashenichusham. You want to put something in storage, and therefore you're putting up walls to kind of protect it for Shemitah. Now, where did we have such machitzas asuyah l'nachas? Says the Gemara, the Rabba Baravua, ma'ariv lo lekula mechoiza. He put a reuven around mechoiza. Mechoiza was the name of a place. And he didn't put around the whole city, but he put it around arsiyosa. Neighborhood. Word asiyosis is Rashi means shchunois. So each shchuna, each neighborhood, had a whole bunch of mavois, and naturally every mavoi has chatzeros, and every chatzeros has houses, has batim. So every neighborhood he put up an eruv, and the purpose of the eruv was not so much for carrying in that place, but rather because mishum peira de beituri. What means peira de beituri? The word peira over here does not mean fruits, but Rashi said peira means a deep enclosure or a deep ditch, a deep a carve out in the ground where they used to go and put in fodder, food for the animals to eat. That's why it's called the beituri. This was intended for places for the animals. You have somewhat of a picture here in the Rashi on the right-hand margin, where you see those two round things in the middle, peira de tura. This is not three-dimensional. If it was, you'd be able to see that this is sunken into the ground. And in that peira de tura, they had, Rashi says, garine temorim. Those were pits of dates. As far as most people are concerned, that's for the pits. But for the animals, oh, that's a date. That's something that they can go and eat. So they used to go and put that into these peira de tura, and for protection, I assume, from wild animals, they went and put around it these machitzes in the individual mevuais, the individual shchunais. If you take a quick look at the Rashi, Arsiyasa, Rashi says, shchunais, shchunais levad. He put up special enclosures for each neighborhood alone. Every shchuna had mevuais. Remember, Mechoiza was a major city at the time. This wasn't a little town or village. So you had neighborhoods, each one having a number of mevuais. He didn't intend to go making a global erev around the whole city. It wasn't as large as Manhattan, didn't have 600,000 people. When we say Shul Yochid, doesn't have 600,000. But that wasn't the intent by putting up these erevin. The reason why I put up Mishim Peyna de Beituri, Zutrashi Shucha Amuka, that's a deep carve out in the ground, like a deep ditch, a deep cistern. Hoizen ben Shchun v'Shchun between each one of the neighborhoods. V'shamayu menichen garine tomorrow. They used to go and fill them up with pits of dates. Lech l'ashvarim. For this was fodder, this was food for the oxen. V'ir ein l'choyma. And the city itself didn't have a wall. Umavuais shalbate ashchunais mufuloshin. The mavuais were mobbing mufulish. They went through and through. And therefore, to be able to go and take the oxen to the Peir de Tura and to be able to eat. But also machitzes arashim mavuais l'chol tzad shechutz l'ir l'ishtamer ha-garinen. The main reason why they put up these walls was principally as protection for the garinen that were in the Peir de Tura. These machitzes were not good enough to go and put this city together as one. Even though this was a machitza that was put up on a permanent basis. But it wasn't for the purposes of dira for living. It was for purposes of shmira for the animals. Aha. Okay. So continuing on, says Yimar, that's what's called a machitza ho asuya lenachas. I'm not sure where the word Nachas comes from, unless these animals produced lots of offspring, and therefore the owners had a lot of nachas from the kinderlach. But you see that the word nachas over here is not a machitza suya ledira, it's not mukav ledira, but rather it's made for shmira, for the peyre de tura. So says Yimor, the rabba baravu ma'arv lo dekul machoiza, the entire city machoiza, you put up arsiyasa, you put up these machitzas in each neighborhood, Mishim Peyre de Beituri, because of these enclosures of the date pits. Zokti Yimor, va Peyre de Beituri, ki machitza o asuya lenachas damya. This Peyre de Beituri is machitza asuya lenachas. And therefore, our case over here, by the Avornika, is also machitza asuya lenachas. Now, why is the Avornika asuya lenachas? So Rashi says something which can ring true to many of us, that the purpose of the Avunika was, with the benches and the whole structure, people would sometimes, after davening, would put their talesin down over there. And therefore it was really fenachas for lying down. Maybe there too the karinim were lying in the crevice, and here too the talesim are lying here on the side. Anyway, what the Gemara wants therefore to do is to say that the Avunika, even if you were to go and say that it was a permanent dira. But people don't live there, they just put nachas over there. And even if you go to say that the hekif around the bustana was put up late, still, it's lenachas, it's not for a dira. So basically, what we have over here is three challenges to Rava. What were the three challenges? Number one, that it was not mukaf the dira first. First they put up the hekif, and then they put up the Avornika. And therefore, to be mukaf ledira, to be able to carry, you have to have the dira first, and then you have to have the walls. Because if you have the walls first, and then after that the dira, it's not mukaf ledira, you'd only be able to carry in a base of sayim. If it's larger than a base of sayim, which apparently this bustana was, oy, you'd only be able to carry dalet amos now. It's larger than a base of sayim. So, question number one, Rava, we need therefore this special machitzos that were made temporarily by Rav Huna Bar Chinina to be able to go and carry the food to the Avurnika to be able to eat Kiddush on Shabbos. That's question number one. Again, summary question is, it was not Mukaf Ladira first, it was Hekke first, Dira second, no good. Question number two, 1 second, Brother Shai. Question number two was that this Machitza was not meant, or this Avurnika was not meant for a permanent resident, it was only Litzniusa. Litzniusa means from time to time to rest. During the day, during the evening. So since it's not a full-fledged dira, even had the wall been built around the bustana subsequent to the construction of the Avornika, it wouldn't be a hekif ledira. It would be a hekif letzniusa. Doesn't work. Number three, over and above that, we have a problem because this Avornika, again, was not ledira. It was for nachas. What means nachas? Rashi says to put things down from time to time. It was your favorite parking place to put down your talis. Rashi says, levushayin, if it gets very hot, maybe take off your jacket, your coat, your hat. You put down your umbrella if it was raining, whatever. If it's a machita suiva nachas, vait, it's not considered to be a beis dira. And therefore, for three solid reasons, the existence of the avornika, even though it's pretty and it's nice and it's great, that is not sufficient to deem this bustana a place which is mukaf ladira. Therefore, you cannot go and carry on Shabbos unless you do something. What do? Rav Huna bar Chinana put up these nice machitzes, less than three tvachim from each one to be able to have the benefit of lovet, and therefore you'd be able to carry, not in the entire bustana, but at least to be able to carry from the house to the Avurnika, to be able to carry over the chulent and the kugel, and people can come and go and have a nice time, have a nice Kiddush and Shabbos morning. And therefore, what the Gemara says, Rava made a mistake in taking down these machitzais, and Rav Huna bar Yeshua and Rav Papa made a mistake in putting them away. They should have left them there. Says the Gemara, Kari Alai Reish Kalusa. The Reish Kalusa said about Rav and his Talmidim, not a very flattering comment. He said, Chachomim Heima Lahora. These Chachomim, while well-intentioned with good faith, but unfortunately their actions caused for me a ro'ah. It was for me bad. Because by taking down those machitzes, based on all of these kashas that we just asked, we won't be able to have our Kiddush on Shabbos, because we won't be able to transport the food from the mansion to the Avornika. So they meant well, but unfortunately, Chacham Mehim Lahara, they only caused problems, Lehetim Layadu, and they didn't know how to go and fix the problem that they caused. So that's in the entire sugya. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi Tshuva Sagoinim. I saw Brother Shai has a question. We'll try to address that. Hopefully the Rashi will already address it. But if not, Mietzim, we'll try to address it afterwards. Now this shot of the Tshuva Sagoinim, this starts, you see the middle wide lines of Rashi, not the narrow lines, not the big wide lines, but the middle wide lines. The second line begins Lahara, which is the end of the sugya. That's after Rashi went through a very lengthy description of the entire sugya. And then Rashi says, Lahara le'esar, they know how to make isurim. Rashi says, it's such a beautiful pshat. And he wants to share it with us, with Klal Yisrael. And we start again, a very nice summary of the Gemara. He had this beautiful orchard, which had the status of a karf of Yosef Beis Asayim, Shlai Hukav Ladira Hava. It wasn't Hukav Ladira, and therefore you can only carry Dalet Amos. Now what exactly is an Avonika? Kimin Achsadra. Achsadra means like a gazebo, a pavilion. Oi Kuba, or some sort of nice cube enclosure. Shemboinim Hamalochim Betoich Pardeshulehen, that the kings like to go and build in their pardesim, in their orchards. Boimit Bem Tzapardes, and it's smack in the middle. All the Reish Kalusa needed, he didn't need to go and carry the entire Bustana on Shabbos. He only wanted to carry from the Pesach Bustana, that means from his palace, from his mansion, whatever, from the Pesach. Shoya Eitzel Habayis, at Avornika, until you get to Avornika, because that's where we're going to go and have Kiddush on Shabbos morning. And therefore, he asked, the Ovid Rav Huna bar Chinana, Kimin Shvil. He made like a nice path, min haPesach ad Avornika, geder mikan. One on the right side, he made a nice fence, and the left side, we're off the first very wide line here in the Gemara and the Rashi. Bikana kana, made out of little posts, out of little poles. Pachis migimel, each one was less than three tvachim from the next. Lahafsik bin aderech lebustana. And that is mamafsik between the derech lebustana to make a shvil, to make a very nice path in the bustana to the avonika. The ital to boys a shvil. Now we'll be able to carry from the Pesach until the avonika and Shalom Yisrael. When Rava tore it down, it's not because he said, no, this is wrong, you're not allowed to, chulila, and enough, which was the first pshat in the Rashi, which we only glossed over. According to the first pshat of Rashi, Rava was opposed to it because he felt that it didn't work. But forget, lahakalalav, Rava is being in a greater makel. This really is shalitatuli bekulabusana. You don't need the shvil to go and limit yourself to be able to only carry from the Pesach until the Avornika. You can go and carry in the entire Bustana. Why? To keep in the Bunali Avornika of a Bustana, since you have this Avornika smack in the middle, Shavi Lekula Bustana, Chotzit Avornika, this entire Bustana has become like the adjacent Chotzit, like the courtyard. We have the Mukam Ladira, after all, you have the Avornika in the middle, it's Adira. People live there during the day and at night, and they rest, and they sit, and da-dum, ba-da-dum. So it's Mukam Adira. And therefore, that's why he slept it down and said, we don't need these two rows of posts. There's Tamir de Rav, and then the Tamir de Rav, Papa, Ravuna, Bredu, Yeshua, Naktinu. They went and hid the posts. The Lord had Ravuna, Bredu, Yeshua, you shouldn't put it up a second time. But he shot, and at that moment, Lo Idkelahu, they didn't realize and they didn't remember the Lav Shaper of it. They didn't realize that what they were doing and what Rava did was wrong. The Shofinu, that Rava schlepped it down and dismantled it. Ulamachar, the next day, that's why the Gemara said on the second line, Lamachar, Idka Vasvua, Kiri Amar Lamachar, like it says in the Gemara. So what were the Kashas? Kasha number one, the Eitzvei Rabbeinu the Rava, Ir Chadasha. What was the Ir Chadasha? The Chilik between Chadasha and Yishana was, did the deeris come first, or did the wall come first? V'haybustana nami kehukaf v'lepsoif yoshev dami. It was hukaf first and deera second. Shekodim niti osay makif and oisay. Before they started planting the orchard, they put up nice walls around it, so that to go and protect from the wild animals, to go and protect from ganovim and looters and this and that. Shekodim niti osay makif and oisay. U'l'achah shegadol ilon, after the ilonas grew up, so they found one beautiful one there in the middle. Also, I'm born in Kasava, and then they put this booth around it, this nice gazebo, so people will be able to sit there and enjoy themselves. And therefore, Hilkach, Shaper of Ravuna Bar Chinina, Ravuna Bar Chinina did the right thing in producing this nice temporary path to be able to go and, on Shabbos, be able to carry from the house, from the mansion, into the Avornika, bring all the food items. For Rapapa, Rapapa asked a question number two by the Mechitza Drachlin. That's the shade that is produced by the contractors, by the builders when they're building. It's the same type of thing. It's not meant as a permanent abode, a residence where people will sleep and live. It's only meant temporarily. People want to take a little rest, get a little shade, and they'll sit there. That was kasha number three. Now, what is the nachas over there? The nachas we had in the city of Mechoyza was the Peira de Tura. That's what they put the pits of the Tamarim. But over here is also Chemenach Lishtamish, Leniach Batali Sisein. Davening is over. I'm going to go eat at the Kiddush. I'm going to take my talis off. Or even if there was no Kiddush on a regular basis, because they didn't have those Mechitzis, only this Shabbos they put it on. But people would wear the talis from shul to the avonika and take it off at the avonika and leave it there. Uluvushayin, and perhaps they take off their coats there. Shepoishim sham, v'sharklei tashmishim, and other things that they don't need to carry any longer, they don't want. And koryolayu, superior. So now all three of these kashas are solid kashas. The kasha from the hek of the dira kasha, the kasha from the mechitzas adrachlin, and the kasha from the mechitzas sui lenachas. Korelayu, and now the Reish Galusa said about Rapapa Vun Brib Yeshua, Shaloi Nizkru Esmoil, that they didn't remember from the day before, they became Chachamim Unavoinim overnight, on Machar. V'sasru tikunai shavuna bar chinina, and they not only took it apart like Rava took it apart, but they even hid it away. V'yashiv nasu chachamim, and now they become oyve chachamim to go and ask kashis on Rava. Why didn't you think about this yesterday, gentlemen? That's the ikar pshat in the Gemara, a very beautiful sugya of Avornika, and that's the reason why they asked the three kashis, and the Reish Kalusa was not happy with Rava. And Brother Shai has a question.
My question was, you know, we say in Bavlasra, Chezek Reishmei Chezek, so having a wall for Sneos, or for just to have privacy, you would think that would be a sufficient reason. But apparently maybe this was a lesser degree. I'm just not sure why you were so down on having a wall for Sneos, not considered to be a proper mechitza.
Sneos are not a drachman. I want to add this, some similar to my question. These are not construction workers. These are not shonas with, you know, when mechitza. This is, you know, many times we saw that the walls that are permitting carrying, like in the case of the caravans, are dependent on the circumstances of the people there. In this case, this is the Reish Galusa. It's a mansion. He's guarded by security staff. There's a lot of people there. You don't need it for security because the Reish Galusa has his tough guys to protect him. This is clearly for privacy, as any private house would have. I'm reinforcing Chai's question. That Rockland thing certainly doesn't matter because it's not a construction site.
You're doing a beautiful, both of you together, Al Pishnaim, Adam Yakum Dovar, you're both presenting a very, very, very good challenge to our Gemara. So remember, when Rashi identified and explained Tznius, he wasn't talking about Tznius that people need to go and close their shades because they want to get dressed or undressed or that type of Tznius. Rashi explains tnius as meaning a place where you don't live permanently, but you only go there from time to time, and therefore it doesn't have a status of a stira, of a dira. Let's take a quick look again at that Rashi of Adrachlin. Rashi is about a quarter down the Amud. Adrachlin banoim she'oisim mechitza l'tzel sviv oiseyem kishabonim mechama. It's a hot day. They didn't put these mechitzas up because they didn't want people to see that they are sweating. The reason why they did it is because they didn't want to sweat. They want to protect themselves, get some shade. So Rashi came with Yusahi, Ulamachar Sasrila. This is a very, very temporary thing. You're putting it over here today because I'm building over here. As soon as I'm finished the building over here, I move on the next 10 feet to my right or to my left. I move the mechitzas with me. Therefore, Lav Klumi doesn't have the status of a mechitza. Vohanami, our case, it's Nyusa. Now, why is here Tnyusa? Again, not because of privacy concern, but because the yoyim v'layla ba'al mehida avida v'lav dirihi. What's going on, tnyusa diyim v'layla, that during the day or during the evening it's hot, people want to take a rest, they've been working hard during the day, they've been sweating, so they sit down for a few minutes, they rest for a few minutes, they do it during the day, they may have gone for a stroll at night, but it's lav dirihi, nobody lives there on a permanent basis. So the comparison and the parallel to the Adrachlin is that just by the Adrachlin is just a temporary fix for one day, he's going to move on. Here too, the reason why I'm sitting in this Avornika, which is a permanent structure, it's not like the Adrachlin structure, but here too, it's not a permanent thing that I live here permanently. I go here from time to time when I want to have a rest, when I'm very tired, and when I'm exhausted from the terrible sun, so I sit there on one of the benches underneath a beautiful shade. It's a mechayev. You can almost think of it, perhaps, as a parallel, assuming that it's still safe to go and walk in either Central Park or Riverside Park. Maybe it's not. Hopefully it will be soon. But the point is, after they refund the police and defund the police, the Democrats. But anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, not going to politics and reality, if you want to sit down on a park bench because you're tired and there's a nice tree over and you're getting nice shade, nobody's going to go and tell the post office, okay, send all of my mail here. I'm going to issue my tax returns. This is going to be my new residence. This is just a temporary place where during the day or during the night, from time to time, you want to rest. So it's not called a dira, just like the Adrachlin's walls are just temporary. They're not for a dira. And therefore, even with a Mexican-Chinese wall, a room and a room, it's not called Mukha Fludia. But that was one of the three kashas. We had the other two. And therefore, Reish Galusa was not happy with Rava and his Talmid. And now we continue on to a brand new Gemara. Reb Eloi says in our Mishnah, he heard three things from Reb Elazar. The first thing he heard from Reb Elazar is that even if it's mukaf, even if the hekif around the karfif goes up to a base car, and it's not mukaf ledira, not mukaf ledira. We've been saying until now that if it's mukaf base asayim, you can carry base asayim. If the karfif is mukaf more than base asayim, and it's not mukaf ledira, you can only carry dalet amos. Says Rabbi Eloi b'shem Reb Elazar that he was much more of a mekel, and he said you can go all the way to a base car. Base car is 15 times the size of a base sosayim, because a car has 30 saw, and instead of getting the benefit of carrying in 5,000 square amas, you can carry now in 75,000, 15 times as much. That's what Rabbi Eloi heard from Reb Elazar. We don't paskin like that, but that's what the Mishnah brings. Says the Gemara, Masis Nalika Chananya. Our Mishnah of Reb Elazar L'choy Dodeshim with Chananya, the Sanya Chananya, Oimra Fili, he are boyim saw. Not only base car, which is 30 saw, even 40 saw. Kiastracha Shel Melech. What's a stracha Shel Melech? Rashi says that the kings in back of their palaces, they had a nice area for people to stroll and to have a nice royal walk, to go and walk with people. If you look at Rashi, Stracha Shel Melechin, 7-8 lines into the wide lines, it says Rashi, Rechava She'achoyrei Paltin, in back of the palaces, V'shamayu Metailin Tamin, they used to go and stroll there back and forth, Alme'ika Dira Bach, that's also called Ashtikl Dira, if you will. Anyway, the bottom line is, Agamara said that according to Reb Elazar, you're entitled to base car, 30 saw, while Chananya says 40 saw, Kistracha Shel Melech. Now, the Gemara is asking this as a kasha. What's the kasha? Reb Elazar says up to base car 30, while Chananya says even up to 40. Now, Lulei HaGemara, one might have said that each one is just throwing out a number and saying, ah, that's not just a base sign. Even much more, even a base car. And he's saying even 40. But that there's really no machlokes. But the Gemara doesn't learn it that way. The Gemara holds that since each one uses the term vafilu, that they meant that this is the upper limit. Says Rabbi Lo Mishem Reb Elazar, up to base car. Says Chananya, up to 40 saf. Both of them were learning as their makoir from the same pasuk. Shenema. It says about Yishayov. Vayishayov lo yotze chatzer hachitzoyna. Ksiv ho'ir v'karin chatzer. Apparently there's a Greek ksiv over here, and that it says in the pasuk ho'ir, and we read it chatzer. And what does it say about that? Mikan, what do I learn from this? The Estrat Yishol Melech, this place where the Melachim stroll in back of the palace, show you Kayores Beinonias, that they were as large as middle-sized cities and villages. And by my Kamiflagi, what is now the Machloikis between Reb Elazar of our Mishnah and Reb Chananya? The Machloikis is Marasav Ayores Beinonias Havian Base Kar, that the average size of a small town, of a middle-sized town, was a base car, was 30 sa'ah, 75,000 square amis. Omar Sava Mem Sahab, no, it was a little bit larger, 40 sa'ah. Aha. Okay, so what do we see from this? We see that Yeshaya was strolling in back of the king's palace. And that size of the king's palace was like Chotzer HaTichoina, or Ir HaTichoina, which was the Estrat Yishol Melech. Machloikis, how large was that? 30 saw or 40 saw. Pray to Marvishayo, my boy Hassam. What's Yishai doing in back of the king's palace, taking a stroll? Am Rabbi Baruchon, Am Rabbi Chaychanon, Balam Shechol Chizkiya, Vahalach Yishayo, Vahoyishav Yeshiva Al Pischoi. Mikan, the Talmud Chachm Shechol, Shem Yishiv and Yeshiva Al Pischoi. What is this all about? So we know this from Tanakh. We also know Chazal bring this as well, that Yeshaya Novi came to visit Chizkiya Melech and to go and tell him the bad besura that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decided that Chizkiah's days were numbered. And the reason why Chizkiah's days were numbered, Yeshaya told him, was because he did not get married and produce offspring. Why Taka did Chizkiah not produce offspring? Because Chizkiah Melech had Ruach HaKodesh, and he knew that if he produces offspring, that they're not going to be good kids. And in fact, as the Torah tells us in the Nach, eventually he did get married, and eventually he did have a son, and that son was the infamous Menashe, which is who's brought at great length in Perek HaChelik, that he was one of these bad guys, and unfortunately he never gets a chelik olam haba. What Menashe did and what he didn't do is not for today's share. But the Gemara tells us that Yeshaya Novi said to Chizkiah, "Bahadi kishid rachmani lamalach." You got to do what the Kaddish Baruch Hu tells you to do, and that is everybody should go and get married, and everybody should have children, and should be mekayim the mitzvah peri verivya. What happens after that? You do your best shot at being mechanech them to go and be fine, tayre, er lechayin, with honesty and integrity, and keeping the arba chelki shulchan aruch and learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, avad and avad. But unfortunately, if things go off bad, listen, you do the best you can. Don't try to go and work out a Kaddish Baruch Hu's cheshbonis. Kaddish Baruch Hu has his own agenda. He'll take care of things the way he sees best. Anyway, as the Pasuk tells us in Yeshaya, and as we know in the Gemara, that Chizkiah took all of this very much to heart, and he cried out to the Rabbeinu Shalom and did tshuva, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu was moisif 15 years on his life, and during those 15 years, in fact, he did get married. If I'm not mistaken, he married one of the offspring of Yeshaya, and they produced Menashe, as we just said. Anyway, so that's why Yeshaya Dreinzach, why is he strolling here in the back of the king's palace? Because he came to tell Chizkiah the bad news. What is he still doing there? Why doesn't he go home already or go back to the Bis Medrash? Says Emor, because he was Moshe Yeshiva al Pischoi. Why? For a schus for the Chole him being Chizkiah, but more than that. Rashi says as kind of a preventive force against the Malach HaMavis. The Malach HaMavis wants to come into the palace to go and kill Chizkiah, so we'll have a whole bunch of yeshiva light sitting and learning, and the Sultan is not going to want to go, and the Malach HaMavis is not going to want to disturb the learning. He's not going to go through. He's going to stay out, and this will be kind of a protective wall for Chizkiah. And that's why the Gemara says, Mikan l'tamad chochem shecholem yeshiva yeshiva al pischai. One should do that today too. You hear Talmud Chacham is never sick. Make a yeshiva on his Pesach to prevent the Malach HaMavis. So the Gemara, it sounds like a great idea. Abvalav Milzi Abalamai said this one should not do this. To Ma'asa L'Giyurei Bei Satan. Because instead of acting as a protection against the Malach HaMavis will now be provoked and incited. And he'll say, you're starting up with me, Malach HaMavis. I have a job to do. Don't stop me from doing my job. He'll get so incensed that Chas V'Shalom, he's going to dafka go and hasten Nebuch, that person's passing. Therefore, it's not a good idea. So now the obvious question was, so then why did Yeshaya decide to do that? Yeshaya should have known of our Gemara, or at least that the Malach HaMavis is a very, very bad one. And the answer is, says the Marsha, or other Mefarshim, because since it had already been decreed by a Kaddish Baruch Hu that Chizkiah was to pass away, so he didn't have to worry about that the Malach HaMavis would get incensed and get upset. Unfortunately, Chizkiah is the next one online anyway on the agenda, Chas V'Shalom. So therefore, Yeshaya wanted to delay it as much as possible, and therefore he figured, let's put up a yeshiva, maybe that will discourage the Malach HaMavis from coming today. He'll come back next week, he'll come back in a month, during Ben Azmanim, when the yeshiva light go home, or something similar. But Avada, don't do it today, because Chas V'Shalom, that could only get the, you can provoke the Malach HaMavis, and he might decide to come earlier, and might cause terrible things. We do have another Gemara, Fakir, that after a person passes away, that when Shigom be Moshe Yeshiva al Kivroi, that would be a schus for the Nifter, and the Moshe Yeshiva al Kivroi, etc. Here in Kiryas Yoel, one of the main yeshivas of Kiryas Yoel is right next to the Beis HaChaim, that when the Reb Yoelish, the Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Satmar Rebbe passed away, they were taken Moshe Yeshiva al Kivroi, and the yeshiva afterwards from a temporary little yeshiva that they started. Then they afterwards built a huge yeshiva, and the yeshiva is right next to the Beis HaChaim, to Moshe Yeshiva Kibbutz. But anyway,
the Rebbe also this kever. They have all sorts of learning there.
Where is this? I'm sorry.
The Babacher Rebbe.
The Babacher Rebbe. Okay. Yeah.
They have all sorts of.
A very learning. Great man. Very great man. Oh, you can imagine upstairs in Shemayim what the great Ganadens these great tzaddikim had, what the Babacher Rebbe did during his lifetime, what he continues to do after his passing, that the Chassidim go and have Chabad centers all over the world with Mesiras Nefesh, etc. Anyway, continuing on. L'chein shemati himenu. So this is now, that was the first limud, lesson that Rabbi Loi told about from Rabbi Lezer. And now number two. L'chein shemati himenu. The anshi chote sheshochech echad le'irev be'sei oser. Now, in our Mishnah and in the Rashi, we explained when we learned the Mishnah that, for instance, let's say you had five balabatim that lived around the chotzer. Four of them decided to make an Erev. The fifth guy came late, or he forgot. He didn't participate in the Erev. And now on Shabbos, everybody says, hey, uncle, what did you do? So Yankel could go and be moichel his rishus in the chotzer. And as a result, we learned in the Mishnah and in the Rashi that now all the people, when I say all the people, all the other four residents of that chotzer, the other four balabatim, not only can they carry from their homes into the chotzer, or from the chotzer into their homes, as a result of the fact that number five was mochel and mevatel his rishus, but they even go and carry into his home, that fifth fellow's home. They can take things in and take things out, but he himself cannot. They can, because he is mochel and mevatel his rishus, to them, so it's as if they are living in his house, so they can take things in and out, as well as the entire chotzer, but he cannot. And therefore the Gemara is going to ask Akasha, what's an on? Didn't we learn elsewhere, in the side of the Vatanya, didn't we learn elsewhere, that basically also lahachlis lahoitzi lahachlis loy v'lehem, that his house remains like off limits to everybody, not only to him, but the other four guys too. That seems to be at odds with our Mishnah. Omer v'una b'rib Yeshua, Omer v'sheshes l'kasha. This is Rav Sheshes, remember Rav Sheshes. Why Kashis and Ishver? Why not Shver? Harab Lezer v'harabonon. It's a machloikis between Rav Lezer v'rabonon. Now what is the machloikis Rav Lezer v'rabonon? Explains Rav Sheshes. Kishetim tzaloimar, if you think about it, apparently the machloikis is L'divir Rav Lezer, who is our Mishnah, right? Rav Loi said in the name of Rav Lezer. Hamavato rishus chatzeiroi, rishus beisoi bitel. When a person says, oh, I forgot to participate in the Erev. Unfortunately, all of you are stuck now. You wanted to carry in and out of the chotzer. You know what? I'm about to my rishus in the chotzer. It belongs to you guys now. I'm out of here for the next 24 hours. It belongs to all of you. It doesn't belong to me. See, mevat rishus in the chotzer. Says Rabbi Lezer, even if he doesn't say it befeirish, it's just stam, we automatically assume the rishus beisei also bitel. That he also gives away the rishus in his own home. And therefore, just like they can go and carry in and out of the chotzer, they can carry in and out of his home of Beisai. However, the Rabbanan, they respectfully disagree. And they say, Hamavato rishus chatzeroi, rishus Beisai loy bitel. Yimavato rishus chotzer, that's it, boys. I'm about to rishus my rights in the chotzer, it's all yours. But my house is my castle. I'm not giving that away. I want to have a place to live. That's off limits. And so therefore, nobody can go and carry in or out of his house, not him, and not anybody else. This is how Rav Sheshes explained the Machloikis. And the Gemara says, why did Rav Sheshes start off Kishetim Tzaloimar in apparently in a very, very nice gesture of modesty? Perhaps that's the Pshat. So the Pshita, it seems to be that that's clearly the Pshat. So what does Rav Sheshes mean by Kishetim Tzaloimar? We too both explained that the reason why Rav Sheshes used that term Kishetim Tzaloimar is because he wanted to throw in another halacha, although he didn't explain it expressly, but this was his intent. Deloy nitzricha el lechamisha sheshruyim bechotzer echad v'shachach echad mehem v'loy irev l'divre b'lev z'kishu mavato rishusay in tzarech levato l'chol echad v'yechad l'rabbani kishu mavato rishusay in tzarech levato l'chol echad v'yechad. What are they doing? They're adopting the principles enunciated by Rav Sheshis according to Rav Lez and Rabbanan, and they're saying we're going to use these same principles to go and explain another machloikis, another halacha. And that is basically what they're saying is, according to Rav Lezer is a mevatel reshus, or a moichel reshus, b'ayin yof mevatel. When he gives away his reshus and his chotzer, he threw into the chotzer altar his own home. While the Rabbanan, when you mevatel reshus, you do the minimum, b'ayin ro'a mevatel. So he only gave away the chotzer and not the house. So what are the other halachic ramifications? Oh, when a person forgot to go and participate in the Eid of an Erev Shabbos, and he wants to be mevatel his reshus for the other four people, does he have to go over to each one of the four, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and Moshe? Or, if he just says to Avram, is that enough? And that's the Gemara Shaila. And the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Lezer, kishu mevatel reshusoy, ain tzarech levatel chol echad v'yechad. You don't have to go over to each one individually, because when he says to Avram, he means to everybody, because mochel or mevatel reshus, ba'ayin yofa mevatel. It's even though he enunciated to Avram, but he meant Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, all the other four guys in the chotzer. The Rabbanan, oh no, it's ba'ayin ro'ah. He does it the minimum. Kishu mevatel reshus, tzarech levatel chol echad v'yechad. If he says to Avram, I'm mevatel to you, he's only mevatel to Avram, not to Yitzchak. So he has to go up to Yitzchak, and he has to go up to Yaakov, and he has to go up to Moshe, he has to go to each one individually. Brilliant. That's why, said Rav Sheshi, kishu timtzeloimar, to be able to apply these principles in another case. So Timur Kiman Azahar Sanya, according to whom goes the following Braisa Hamisha Shahuim Bechotzer Echad, Vishach Echad Mehen Veloy Irev, Kishu Mavato Rishusai, Ein Tzorach Levato Rishus Lechol Echad Ve Echad. Who would hold that way? Kiman Kir Blesser. Oh, like we just said now, I'll leave it to Rav Sheshis, it's Rav Blesser. Zeh fine. Zorti Yimara, Rav Kahana Masni Hachi. Rav Kahana taught this Gemara the way we just learned it over the last 5 minutes. Rav Tavyumi Masni Hachi, however, Rav Tavyumi learned it a little bit differently. And he started off, not like we starting off with a stira, the Mishnah mit Abraisa, whether or not the others can carry from his home or not, but he started off the following way. Kiman Azal Hadesanyo, I have a Braisa over here. That's the Braisa we just finished reading a moment ago. It says in the Braisa, hey, Shishruyim, b'chotzer five people live in b'chotzer echad. B'shachach echad mehem v'lo yirev, one of them forgot to go and participate in the erev. Kishu mevatel reshus, ein tzarech levatel reshus lechol echad v'yechad. He doesn't have to go over to each one individually. It's enough to go over to one. Kiman, who holds that way? Amar Ravuna by Yehuda, Amar Rab, Sheshis. Oh, the same Rav Sheshis that we had before. Kiman, Kirab Lezer. So Lamaisa, the two Lashonis come out the same, but it's a little bit abbreviated according to the second Lashon. It's not that Rav Sheshis asked the Stira Meta Braisa Meta Mishnah and came up with the Svara Hamavatu Shus Chatzeroi, Rishus Beisa, Yor Bita, Loi Bita, whether that's included or not, B'ayin Yofa, B'ayin Ra. No, he just addressed simply this Braisa which we just brought, and he said it's a blessing. Fine. Now the Gemara asks a very, very nice, posh, it's a simple, straightforward question. Omer Papa Baya, Lira Blazer, I Omer Loi Maftilna, Ulra Bonan, I Omer Maftilna, Mai. We just got finished saying that Rabbi Lezer says that when a person is Mavatil his Rishus to the other four on Shabbos, he doesn't have to enunciate exactly what he is Mavatil or not. I am Mavatil my Rishus. Automatically, everybody understands, according to Rebbe Lezer, he meant his reshus in the chotzer, and he meant the reshus in his own house. What happens if he says expressly, I'm only being mevatel my reshus in the chotzer and not in the house? Does that have an effect? Or is it always a package deal? Well, the other way around, according to Rabban. According to Rabban, the Rabbanan hold that when you're mevatel your reshus in your chotzer, you're not mevatel the reshus in the bayis. What happens if he says expressly, Rabbeisai, I am generous today. I am being mavatal my rishus in the chatzer and in the bayis. Does that change the situation? Now, what's the shaila? The chayyav, he says befeirish. He said befeirish. So the Gemara explains again. Time with Rablez is the reason for Rablez Mishim de Kasavar. Hamavatar Shus Chatzerai Rishus Beisoi Bitel. That automatically when you say Chatzer, Bayis goes along for the ride. Vahai Omar Anno Loimav Tilna. But here he says Befedish, I don't want it to go along for the ride. I only want the Chatzer and not the Bayis, and therefore it's only the Chatzer and not the Bayis. Or Dilma, time to Rablez Mishim de Bayis Play Chatzer Levidi Inchida Dairi. You cannot live with a bayis without a chatzer. After all, the batim in those days were relatively small, and the chatzer wasn't just something, you know, beautiful to go and have a fancy landscaper go and put up beautiful flowers and trees and all that wonderful stuff and shrubbery. But you needed the chatzer to go and park your animals there, to go and park extra things that you didn't use throughout the year. So therefore, you can't live without a chatzer. And that being the case, even though he says, I'm not being mevatel my rishus in the bayis, he really doesn't have the power or authority to do that. Because afagav di omer diarna, lav klum ka'omer. Even if he says, yeah, I can live with a bayis alone, without a chatzer, I need that bayis, but you can have the whole chatzer. That's why I'm only being mevatel rishus in the chatzer. Come on. You know. But the daita eats of kolodam, you gotta have both. You can't have a chotzer without a bayis without a chotzer, so therefore it's a package deal. So regardless of what he says, Rabbi Lezer would hold, he's mavatul rishus in both. And as a result, everybody in the chotzer can go and bring things into his house and take things out of his house. And now forget, Ularabat. Iyam maftil mavatul, he said, Befeish, I'm mavatul rishus in my home, my. Time the one is the reason for the one mission to Kasavra and Mavatul rishus chatzera. Rishus Beisaloi Bitel. That when a person says Rishus Chatzeroi, he's doing it Ba'ayin Ra, he's not doing Ba'ayin Yafasi, only meant his Chatzer, not the Bayis. V'hayom Maftel, but here he says Befeirish, Rabbeisai, listen carefully. I'm not only being Mavatul my Chatzer, I'm Mavatul the Bayis, and therefore, everybody has a right now to carry into his home. Oy de vetam der bon mishim gloy ov et inish de mesalik nafsh le gamri mi bayis ve chatzer ve hadi ki oyrech le gabayu. A person doesn't want to be homeless. He doesn't want people to look at him and say, this guy has nothing. He doesn't have a bayis, he doesn't have a chatzer. I can't do that. Ve hay ki oma maftilna lav kol kaminei. So even though he says he's being mavayis, his mavatel, his rishus bayis, he needs his bayis. He needs a place to go and sleep. He needs a place to go and live. His wife would be furious if he gives away the house and give away the chatzah. What type of thing is this? So they can't carry. They'll carry a matzah Shabbos. You can't go and give away your house. You have a place. You have to have a place to live. I don't want to be a guest in my own house. So the Frank Dimar, so what's the halach in those cases? Amalei. So he answered him, Beim Rabban, Beim Reb Lezer, Kim de Goli Daite. Goli. What a person says, Beferish, you can rely on him. Therefore, according to Blazer, if he says, I'm not being mevatel rishus in my bayis, that's the halacha, that's what he meant. He's not mevatel in the bayis, only the chatzim. And according to Rabban, if he says, I'm mevatel everywhere, you can rely on what he says, he's mevatel everywhere, both the bayis and the chatzim. And that's how we paskin. In other words, that's how we paskin out this shayla, according to Blazer and Rabban. Finally, the third thing Rabbi Loi said, b'shein Rabbi Blazer, is about the Arkavlin. That Arkavlin can be used as a substitute for Moror. Frank Dimar, my Arkavlin, what is the Arkavlin? Amresh Lokish. Atzavsa Charuzisya. Now, what exactly is Atzavsa Charuzisya? So you look at the last Rashi over here, right before the new Perik. Atzavsa Charuzisya. Siv Ove Hagodelso Vadekel. You have a palm tree. And the palm tree, of course, has nice bark, and around that bark is a sieve of a room in a room that deckle, some sort of outer further growth. The nichrach gefanim, and it goes higher and higher, and it looks like lovi gefanim. Anyway, it's the outside bark growth around the deckle tree. Go and take it, grind it up, eat it, and it really tastes bitter. Boy, does that taste bitter. Now you're wondering, how does it get this name Charziyosa? Says Rashi, Chaziyosa tkufos har biyachad, they grow very, very close together, bunched together. Kemachruzois v'tam morabai. Now we have in Bava Metzia and Eila Metzias machruzois shodogim. A person who's walking down the street and finds machruzois. What means machruzois shodogim? A whole bunch of fish that are strung together. You put the string through their mouths or through the gills or whatever, and you have 10 or 12 of them that you sell at 10 or a dozen, whatever, like a dozen eggs, a dozen fish. So the machruzois shodogim means that they're all tied together as one. Here too, these vines or bark that grew around the decal tray, they also were bunched together as one. That's how we got the name charizyasa, like the word machruzois. And tamarabai was bitter, and that was the third limud that Rabbi Loi learned from Rebbe Lesson. Han l'choysim pasin, l'choydim pasin, l'choydim pasin, become our mishtad, ben chutz v'namayim v'min ha-melach. Any questions, Rabbi Isai? Baruchim to you. Yes, Barry.
On the Omer Aleph, when we talked about the Irchoma, it didn't seem to matter, talking about Irchomen, it didn't seem to matter whether you built the wall first or the houses first, but your chum is always measured from the outermost house that's available. Is that correct?
No, I'm afraid that that's not correct. If you go back, maybe we went over this a little bit too quickly. If you go back to Chovav Amar Aleph, starting from the third line, Ir Chadosh, if it's a brand new ear, Moidin Lo Mishivasa, then when you're measuring your 2,000 Amis, you're going Mishivasa means from the last house in the ear. V'yishana, if it's an old city, then you go and measure Mechimasa from the wall. You ignore where the final house ends, but you start measuring your 2,000 Amis from the wall. Now the question is, what's the definition of a new city or old city? Eiz v'chadosha v'eiz yishana. Chadosha shehuk v'glosayf yashva. They first put up the wall, and then they put up the houses. So that's a chadosha. There you moid l'mishivasa, ignore the wall. You start your tchum, your 2,000 Amis, from the last house in the city. If it's a yishana, if it's an old city, where? That it was Yashua and Lusay Fukfa. First you had the homes, and then they built the wall. Then you measure your 2,000 Amis from the wall, and not from the final house. So
it seems like we said that the in that case where you first had the buildings, and then you had the wall surrounding it, the buildings reached the wall. So in the case of you had the buildings first, and then you had the wall. Even if there's a gap, you jump to the wall, and that becomes your point of departure. Is that what it's saying?
If it happens to be a yeshana, an old wall, right, old in the sense that first it was dirois, and then they built the wall. If there happens to be a space between the final house and the wall, you still measure from the wall. You don't measure from the last house.
That's what I wasn't clear about. And if by any chance the houses were slightly outside of the wall, you could even go from those outside houses.
That's not dealt with in our Gemara, but what we've learned
earlier, though, I'm asking.
Yes, no, you're 100% right. What we've learned previously is if the house which is outside the wall is within 70 and 2/3 Amis of the wall, then you get an extension, and you only start your 2,000 Amis after that home ends, and then you continue on. It's as if the outskirts of the city have increased or have expanded to the back of his home. And if within another 70 and 2/3 Amis of that home, there's yet another home, then again we extend it further, and so on, until infinity.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Robert, I think you're asking a question, but you're on mute.
Yeah. Sorry. What does the new and old definition has to do with the fact that they built the houses first, and then the wall, or the wall first, and then the houses? I mean, how is the correlation to old and new? Why the Gemara associates with old and new these two definitions?
It's a very good question. I'm assuming that the reason why the Gemara uses that definition is because when we're talking about a new wall, why is there a new wall? Because people said, let's go and build an Ir Chadosh, a brand new city. We're first going to put a wall around it so people will realize we have protection from all the violent protesters who are all nice guys who just got a little agitated because somebody got hurt. But anyway, so they build this beautiful, beautiful wall. It's a brand new city, and now everybody is entitled to buy a city. You want to buy a lot, it costs $100,000, you'll be able to build your own house. It's brand new. On the other hand, the Ir Yeshana means that the city has already been in place for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and now the major machers in the city decided that they want to build a wall around it, because we see that this is a permanent city, and let's now have that protective wall around. So I'm assuming that that's the reason why the Gemara uses those terms, that Ir Chadash is defining it's a new wall, because we don't have a city yet, we're going to have city soon, but in the meantime, let's build this brand new wall. In the case of the old wall, it's an old wall because the city has already been in place for a number of years, so even though the wall, quote-unquote, is a new wall, but it's a new wall of an old city, and that's why he says of an Ir Yeshana.
Sure.
You know, notice that the Braisa doesn't refer to the wall as being old and new, it's the Ir Chadasha or the Ir Yeshana. So Ir Yeshana means that the city has been in place already for a while, and now we've added the Choyma to the Ir Yeshana.
The city and the wall could be one and the same, as you see in Yehoshua,
you know,
with the
Rechav, the spies. You mean the walls of the houses themselves could form the wall of the city?
Be part of the wall. They're included in the wall.
Yeah, but nowadays you have to have driveways in between each house so you can get the cars in and out. So therefore you have to have space between one house and the other. They can't all merge together and make a wall in the back. Anyway, everybody should have a beautiful Shabbos. In 8:05 Sunday morning in the Gittur Shul. Zagi Bench 1 and all. Thank you all for joining in.
8:21 on Monday.
On Monday. But you're going to tell everybody on Sunday about 8:21.
On Sunday. As you remind me on Sunday.
Perfect. Kvaldik. Okay.
Zagi's now in. I'll send out. I have a shir for Shabbos from Les Master. I'll send it out after I send out the shir for today.
Beautiful. Thank you very, very much. Shkoyach. Did you